Hello and welcome to Speak Your Truth and Look Good Doing It podcast. My name is Camila, or as you've seen me online, Maria Camila. I'm a brand strategist, photographer, and videographer. This work is about amplifying the visibility of conscious leaders and brands who are wanting to leave this world better than they found it. This podcast is about letting ourselves be seen, both physically and spiritually, and highlighting the nuances we experience as we are growing both personally and professionally. Thank you for being here, and let's go ahead and dive in. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. This is, I'm going to do this podcast again because I just recorded a whole juicy, really good for you podcast, and then it wasn't recording. So we're going to do this again. I think like I mentioned before, I have fancy podcast equipment, but something has been coming over me that it's just not clicking when I sit down and try to record a formal podcast, that I actually talk to myself a lot in my everyday life. I live by myself in an apartment, and I was like, you know what? How about I talk to myself with a mic on and then we call it a podcast? So that's what we're doing today. And today's episode, I wanted to share a few stories about my past and just how I've come around to be more comfortable being seen and the process that I'm going through to regulate myself and to like make it out the other side. Because I know visibility, just being seen in general, first of all, I think all of us human beings to a degree have to heal being seen, or being seen in failure, being seen in trying. Like, even if we had really pretty childhoods, I think all of us have some kind of wound, or like maybe you gained weight, or maybe you, I don't know, you've always been rewarded for how smart you are and intellectual you are. And so to be seen for your personality and things in that way, that could be hard. Or maybe you're just ready to, like, you kind of been very conversational and very down to earth the majority of the time when you're seen. And so to show up more as the expert and as a person that knows something, that can also be a whole thing. So I just hope you know that we're all going through this as a collective, okay? To a degree, we need to heal this. And I'm bringing this up to you because, like, when you get your content back, you're going to be faced with this resistance. And I have worked with people, and if you're listening to you that have, we worked together, that sometimes their content never gets posted. And it's because the trauma of being seen lives so deep in the body that the body literally blocks you from feeling safe, that it's just too heart-wrenching. And I've been there. And I would be doing a disservice to you to tell you, go be visible, go market yourself, whatever, without addressing that, hey, make sure that you're also resourcing yourself and looking at the deep beliefs that live in the body, not even in your subconscious mind, in like your entire nervous system. And these beliefs that have kept you safe for a long time, that were ingrained in childhood or a very traumatic moment in your life, and now you have to reframe that belief and reframe your entire being, and that's a process. And I would be doing a disservice to you by just talking about the work. And when, like, the work works when you've done the inside work, okay? And granted, I am not a somatic experiencing person. I'm not a therapist. I'm an artist. I'm a creative. Although creativity is very connected to emotional intelligence. It's connected to like being very in tune with the human experience. And to be a good photographer, in order to create a comfortable space for you to show yourself to me, and like as I'm capturing a photo or doing some video, I really have to be very in tune with the soft side of my being, not just my technical brain needs to be on, but my body, like my nervous system needs to be on. And so, anyways, that's why I'm talking about this right now. But I'm going to tell you a story. So, I was journaling this morning and something that came to me because I was thinking to myself, like, what are the times in business where business just felt so easy, or it just felt like things were just lining up and I just wasn't really like, I wasn't swimming upstream. I was just like in flow state. And then I started asking, like, when was a time where that was happening? And what was that version of me? And then I last that I thought back about this, I'm like, you know what? Things actually felt this way. The irony was when my niece died. And I remember I was in such grief and such exhaustion. And like, I'm dealing with my feelings and I'm dealing with my family's feelings. And I'm dealing with like how we're all collectively going through this portal, all of us together at the same time. Like, it wasn't like I lost the loved ones, but my parents didn't. It was like, all of us lost a loved one and all of us were shook by the death of a child, you know? Like I just think it hits different and things are different when it's a baby that passes away to the other side. And so I remember during that time, I was just like, I am so not in like a smart marketer like state of being. I'm in my rawest humanity. And like I do not have it in me right now to literally think anything. All I can do right now is just be and express with where I'm at. And some of the best advice that I ha was given during that time was like, then that's all you have. Like, if all you have is sharing on Instagram stories and just telling people what's going on, you could either ghost your business, which is okay too. Or you could tell people, this is what's happening, and this is literally all I have, and this is it. And I also say, like, I had like really good design work done for me into how I could sell my stuff. And the way that I was selling right now was just like, I was just sharing with people the heart of what I had because I was so inundated with starting a whole new life. I think now I've gotten some momentum, but I was just inundated with starting a new life of what it was like with like what was life like after I saw my dad cry over my niece's body and wail in sadness. To see a man who, because men don't really cry, and even if they cry, it's probably like very small in the way they express their sadness, and that's how my dad has been. But to, because something that happened was the day my niece died, my dad called me. It was like January 8th. It was on a Wednesday, and my dad called me saying, hey, I'm on the way to the hospital. Your sister called me because Emma, anyway, things are happening with Emma. I'm not gonna go into the details of it, but and he just uttered the words of my sister saying, my daughter died. I think my baby died. And but he's just like, but we don't know yet. So I'm on my way to the hospital to see what's going on. And it's something to understand. My family lives in Utah. And from where my dad lives to where he needs to go to the hospital is like about like a 30-minute distance. And so and he's like, I'm on my way to the hospital right now. And anyways, he's like, but just calm down. But as soon as like my dad told me, there's something in my instinct where I just knew in that moment that I was like, no, this is not when Emma gets sick. And also for context, Emma is my 11-year-old niece. She was almost 12, and she wasn't necessarily paralyzed, but she was born with a birth injury that didn't allow her muscle function, meaning she couldn't eat anything. She was in a feeding tube her whole life. She was on a wheelchair very early on. She developed scoliosis from like inability to hold her head up, and then the scoliosis made it where her lungs started to collapse, that impacted her breathing. And it was just like a slew of just things from her condition that she was a very vulnerable little being. Anyways, so but the moment that my dad told me, I just knew, and then in that moment I just collapsed in tears. I just collapsed. That's all I could say. And then after that, I called my brother because my brother was at the hospital with my sister. And my brother, we were on the phone, and he just sits there and tells me, "Hey, don't tell dad, but Emma's gone." And when my brother told me that, I collapsed again. I just remember. Anyway, as you can imagine, it's the kind of news that you're in so much denial, and like, it's just such a raw human experience of like wailing and crying, and it's unexpected, but yet you feel so connected to God. And anyways, and then in that moment, I asked my brother, like, "Can you please put me on FaceTime? Like, I want to see my sister. I want to see my dad. I want to know what's going on." And so my brother put me on FaceTime, and while we were on FaceTime, my family was just in the ER room. It was like my sister and her partner and my brother, and then my dad had arrived. And that's where my dad already knew the news. And it's one thing, obviously, to see my sister being sad, like we're all in shock. But seeing like Emma's little tiny body covered, and my dad just like, another thing to understand too is that my parents were very involved with Emma. They were very involved grandparents. They watched her all the time. My sister and Emma's dad like parted ways. Anyway, I won't go too much into her business, but the point is that my dad was very involved. He was almost like a dad to Emma. And to see my dad like wailing, like I thought it was my mom crying as I was seeing it through the FaceTime, but to see my dad, like this man, just wail over my sister, over like Emma's body, her little tiny, tiny, tiny angelic body that no longer had a soul in it. And to see him just be like that, just so raw, like kind of like everybody, if we all had an ego, that ego was gone. It was gone. It's like we're all so shook and humbled by life, by just how the permanence of someone being gone, but also just like I just think of Emma's life and the impact she had on all of us. Anyways, all of this was a major life change. A major life change that I'm going through, my sister's going through, my brother's going through, my mom's going through it, my dad's going through it. And it's like we're all just learning how to live life again, and we're learning to live life with this big open heart now. Because the way that we communicate with Emma's spirit is no longer through talking to her. We now communicate with her by being in love, by prayer, by it's an emotional thing. And anyways, I'm experiencing all of this as I'm in Salt Lake, as I'm also processing my life. I remember it feeling fear of like I cannot run my business. I don't know how to show up to my life any other way. I don't know how to run my business from like this place of being the expert. Like, no, I don't know how to do that anymore. All I know how to do is just tell you how I'm feeling and tell you how I'm managing to keep the lights on in my life. That's all I know how to do right now. And anyways, all of this is coming up as I'm journaling this morning about what was a time in my life that I'm feeling so raw. I'm feeling like life is like the business is actually like I remember I had a lot of you inquire with me during that time, and I started asking myself like what is going on during this time that's making people connect with me and inquire with me. And I realize that I'm just like letting you see me. I'm letting you inside of me. And what it has showed me is that it didn't harm me. If anything, it healed me. And I was also thinking back into like what are the reasons that like I felt so much like panic over being seen. And I won't go too much into this is like a story for another day, but when you grow up just not thinking that you're very special and you have all these wounds that say that you're not that interesting, all of that is going to impact you. And it's so incredibly important that you like unpack why you don't think that you are worthy of being seen. And when I unpack like where I had these wounds of not being worthy of being seen, it definitely stems from not seeing myself represented. And also just buying into this story that my job and my role as a being was to be a caretaker for everybody else instead of like me taking care of myself. I literally used to believe that I was a good person and a good friend if I just catered to all of my friends and then not advocated for myself. And I used to think that that was noble and that was the way of being. And then one thing about entrepreneurship is that entrepreneurship requires you to be okay with you being centered. It requires you to find safety and to find wisdom in your lived experience and the things that you're going through. And it's really hard to do that if you have icky belief systems about yourself in that way. And I'm sharing all of this with you because that resistance is gonna come up when you get your work back, when it's time for you to like be seen at a higher level. Like all of these things, like that resistance will come up. And I can't, like, full transparency, I have worked with people that we've gone through the whole brand shoot process and then the work doesn't get posted because trauma lives in their body so deeply with how like it the trauma just is telling you that you are not worthy of being seen, or that being seen is bad, or that you have icky, or like it's gonna harm you if people see you. And like the work just doesn't get posted, or people don't start that business, or it's kind of like this loop. And I just want you to believe, and I just want you to trust that like that first instinct that you felt, and like sometimes you don't even know what your brain is telling you because all you feel is like a knot in your throat, or you feel like a freeze response. And I just want you to be onto yourself. If you're finding yourself frozen and unable to act and move forward in business because all of those things can be worked on. And it's why I talk so much about nervous system regulation, because just thinking better thoughts is just simply not going to work. And thinking, honestly, thinking anything is not going to work. If anything, you just need to remember. You need to remember to be, and you need to. This is just honestly a combination of all of the modalities that I've learned over the years that I'm sharing with you here. But it's incredibly important that you think of yourself as special, that you find safety and comfort in who you are as a being. And if you are finding, if there's resistance towards feeling special, ask yourself why. And when you ask yourself why, meaning you journal this out, you're going to get the answers. And I wholeheartedly believe that when you look at the root of where something comes from, it allows you to depersonalize it. And allows you to separate yourself from it. And it allows you to recognize that, oh, that's that little wounding part of me that's asking me to be quiet, to stay safe. But now I can look at that part of myself and tell it like, hey, it's okay. We are rewriting a new story here. And that's probably the biggest thing that grief has taught me, is that grief is like a transition. Grief is a transition to a new identity, and sometimes grief comes in the loss of a loved one, but it also comes in switching identities if you are, for instance, like becoming an entrepreneur, if you are honestly changing anything in your business, if you are starting to be visible, it like anything that is including a newness, the experience of grief may come up for you. And I just want you to see it as an opportunity for you to step into that new version of you. And when you do that, there's a lot of emotions that go along with that. And just please don't ignore the emotions that are coming up, because they are the way through for you to integrate the new identity of what you're implementing in your life or your business. So anyway, that is my spiel for you today. Of me talking to myself in the kitchen, and now you got to hear about it. And if you found value in this, or if you are looking to work together, please connect with me. I also encourage, if you are a client of mine, or if you eventually become a client of mine, to continue to listen to the podcast, because a lot of our work together is more of the creative part of it. And we do a little bit of that one-on-one sounding board part, but there's a lot of value, and there's a lot of just a lot of aha moments that you'll be able to experience by listening to the podcast in the comfort of your own home, of your own mind. And yeah, this is how we can maximize our time together as you're becoming more visible through this medium. So if you found value in this, share with somebody else. Other than that, thank you for hearing me out here, and have a good day. Talk soon.
If you're an entrepreneur who just received your brand photos, yet you don't know how to use them to maximize their use and have them look just as beautiful as they do in your brand photographer's Instagram and website, I have a solution for you. I have created a how to use your images guide. These are principles that I use to this day that have lasted the test of time, with how to pair images together and how to think of your brand photos differently and how to make them last you months and months on end as assets that keep elevating your brand and help you serve your services and attract those dream clients. So check out the link in my bio for the how to use your images guide.